Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In fact, let's get David online here, and we'll talk about the Italian Grand Prix from last week. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you. Yeah, glad to be on it again, as always.
And I was just telling the listeners, it was amazing how much fun a Formula One race can be when Mercedes isn't dominating the race.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you better get ready for another one tomorrow, by the look of things. yes, it made for an interesting Grand Prix. As I've always said, luck played a huge part of it, because Gasly was incredibly lucky, because he just made his pit stop. And of course, they let Lance Stroll change his tyres in the pits under a red flag, which is counter to all that ever used to happen for me. I mean, you weren't supposed to touch the car under a red flag. And there he was, changing his tyres, which gave... So anyway, he really would have finished about, you know, 6 or 7. But it did make for interesting racing, which, of course, has reintroduced all that stuff we went through last year about having reverse grids. And Ross Brawn, who said that they go to so people may get their wish in the end. So I don't think the drivers are terribly interested in it.
Well, and you certainly saw that last week, where you had Hamilton, because of the, it was an obvious violation, and it wasn't necessarily, you can't really, I mean, the team took the blame for it, but you could see it plain as day from the in-car coverage that he did pit under red flag conditions. Yes. But you had a situation with Hamilton coming up through the field, and then you had the unfortunate situation with Kimi Raikkonen with the Alpha team, who went with, with the softer tires and should have went with the mediums and just dropped like a rock. So you had one driver going up and one driver, unfortunately, falling through the field.
You did. And that was a bit unfortunate for Kimi. But, on the other hand, I think Hamilton's display of mastery at the situation was similar again. When you think that he finished up 7 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever it was, and two places behind Valtteri Bottas, his teammate, who, of course, you know, had been duking it out, never could get above about fifth. And Hamilton pulled through the entire field and caught up with him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point with Bottas, because, I mean, when was the last time, depending on your thinking, is, you know, Bottas hasn't been in that situation a while where he has to battle for position with these guys as close, because usually he's following behind Hamilton in clean air. So yeah. I think it's an interesting, you know, situation where, you know, is he playing safe? In my opinion, he's the ultimate number two guy because he's never going to challenge Hamilton for that number one position. We've seen, especially in Formula One with politics, when you have two number one drivers on a team, it can definitely cause issues. But in this case, Bottas, I think, is the ultimate number two driver.
He's the perfect number two driver for Lewis, as was Rubens Barrichello for Michael Schumacher. I mean, the same thing. I mean, he was quick enough to beat everybody else, but he was never quick enough to beat Michael. He could have done on occasion, there's no doubt about it, and I think they stole a couple of races from him, which really wouldn't have made much difference to the World Championship, but it certainly would have made a big difference to his resume when you look at the, you know, wins and losses and that sort of thing. But you're right. Bottas does make a perfect second, and you know, guys like him are always saying, "Well, we might have to go somewhere else." But the fact is, you know, where else would you go?
Right. Yeah, and then you get. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other big news, of course, is this week is Vettel going to the Aston Martin team next year, which is now Racing Point, which has already just changed its name once. Now it's going to change it again to Aston Martin. I think that's a big. I don't see him doing necessarily any better at Racing Point than he's doing at Ferrari himself. But it's difficult. No, he wants to stay in racing. In Formula One, he doesn't want to do anything else, I don't think. But we have an interesting season coming up with a few more races. What are we going to end up with this year? 17 races, is it?
Total? I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah, which actually, considering they didn't start till July, is pretty damn good.
Well, and I wanted to bring up Pierre Gasly because here you have a situation where, you know, Pierre Gasly on the second, basically the second tier Red Bull team goes out, wins a Grand Prix, and everybody's like, "Wow, I can't believe he got demoted." And then you have a situation this morning where he doesn't make it out of Q1. So, and I think that kind of I think you understand why now he's, you know, why he's there and not at Red Bull, correct?
Well, exactly. And I'm disappointed in Honda ending this year. Although today, you know, Verstappen ended up just a hundredths behind Bottas and Hamilton. So the Honda, and this is a high speed track again, although not as fast as last week. What was the speed this year, Paul? Do you know today?
I do not know, but I thought Red Bull was closer. I think they were only 3 to 5 tenths off. It was a tighter field than it was last week.
Yes, a lot tighter. And so, I mean, Honda must be fairly satisfied with that. And but I mean, the Gasly Fiat. I mean, this is only the second time this year that the Fiat has out-qualified Gasly. So Gasly certainly seems to be the absolute number one in that AlphaTauri team, the second Honda group. And is he better than Albon? I mean, he was giving Albon a hard time last week, and he gave him a hard time at Silverstone. So I think Gasly is probably pretty good. I think he's probably better than Albon himself, but I think they made that snap decision last year and moved Gasly down, and I don't think they're going to make another snap decision to move him back up again. They're going to give Albon a bit more time, which they probably should have given Gasly a bit more time.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can go either way with that, but especially with his performance today, I think he was disappointed, and I'm sure the team was disappointed at that. It is interesting, though, when you look at Perez, you know, moving on, where he might end up with the Racing Points, like you said, soon to be Aston Martin. But, you know, Vettel, you had Leclerc qualify fifth. That was quite a surprise because Ferrari had not been showing any speed. Vettel is way in the back. You know, I mean, he's pretty much checked out for the year, hasn't he?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I really do. And to be honest, I'm not sure that he hasn't checked out of Formula One, really. I mean, yes, they've given him another drive. The fact is that last year and the year before, he had some pretty diabolical mistakes. He's made some pretty diabolical mistakes for a four-time world champion. And, obviously he's dispirited and he's lost interest in all the other cliches, you know. And so he feels down and out. But, you know, in Formula One, you can't afford to do that, as Gasly showed last week.
Yeah, certainly. And, of course, this week they're in it's the Tuscan Grand Prix at Mugello, is it? And
yeah.
Did you have a race there? I don't know if you have a race. It opened up, I think, at 74.
Well,
that track.
Ask me who won the first ever race at the new Mugello.
Would that be you?
I was going to Google it before I spoke to you. But I did win at Mugello in its first year, 1974, in the Carl Hogan's Formula 5000 car.
Oh,
we ran it in England for a few races. We ran at Silverstone. I won that. We ran at Mallory Park, and I did not win that. And then we went off to do some races in Italy and Europe. And Guy was with us. Guy was with his girlfriend, Kathy, and we went off to Italy and had a fantastic time. The circuit is only just a very few miles from France. And we had a very good run. And it rained for the race. It rained like hell. In fact, today, they would never have started it. But, of course, in those days, you know, a bit of rain. And I don't know where I qualified, but I overtook a lot of people very early on and swept into the lead. And then they red flagged the race. Because they said it was too wet. And then the Italian organizers tried not to pay me my money. Because in those days, you know, they gave you starting money, you go for starting money, and they'd pay you prize money as well. And they didn't want to pay because they said, well, yeah, but Senior Hobbs, the race is shorter, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, yeah, but we still come 2,000 mile round trip to get here and go home again. Anyway, they did cough up the dough in the end, but it was a bit of a season, you mean to that. But I got to Google that. See, I think I won that race. And I think it might have been the first ever race in New York.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess it hasn't changed that much. I thought it was interesting. They actually had on Sky Sports had an interesting with our favorite saltine cracker, Martin Brundle. With that sweeping, that last sweeping turn before the pits, and how the F1 drivers are driving it right on the edge, on the outside, not even pretending to hit any type of apex. What were your thoughts on that when you saw that?
I don't know. There must be maybe there's a sort of camber in the road that we can't see very well, and they find in the outside, it is a bit odd, I have to say. And I'm not quite sure why they're doing that. And of course, you know, you enter the pits off that as well, so you flash into the pit entry at some god almighty speed.
Yeah, because they're going to really have to be hard on the binders to get in the pits, because it's not a long pre. I mean, this is not your modern Formula One track, so
and obviously
it has a few design tweaks.
It's not ideal, as we said yesterday with Perez and Vettel. So they're going to have to modify that a bit, I think. But I think it's a great track, and I think all the drivers absolutely love it. But of course, I suppose Elf and some sort of slow it down and put chicanes in, and I don't know if they have another race there, but it obviously deserves a race. It's a great location, and it's a great track. I mean, it's a lovely track.
It certainly is. We're talking to David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Final Inspection Show. And where do you think Sergio Perez is going to end up next year?
I have absolutely no idea, and I can't think where he'll want to go. I really can't. He can't go to Renault. He can't go to McLaren. He can't go to Ferrari. I mean, I see Gunther Steiner from Haas saying, well, he's on shortness. Well, I should think he would be from Gunther Steiner's point of view, but
sure.
I can't see how to introduce him. Sergio Perez, why would he go drive a Haas? I mean, you know, he'd probably end up at Alfa Romeo. QB Reichel would probably retire, and he'll probably end up at Alfa Romeo. I can't think of where else he could possibly go.
Yeah, that makes interesting, especially...
But he brings a lot of money, though.
He does, and that's very important.
And Alfa Romeo might be very glad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Did you see the news? I think it was earlier today about Formula One. If you want to be a new team, you have to bring in like $200 million to the other teams.
They do make it easy to join, don't they?
No, I mean, especially if you lose another team. I mean, I think at this point, wouldn't you want to promote? I mean, you and I had a discussion a couple of years ago when we had Marussian and you had the Virgin team and all these, and I loved it. I think the more the merrier, and you weren't too happy about it. But I mean, I it's not like the late 80s. I don't think it has to be like the late 80s when you had, I mean, you actually had to do pre-qualifying, and you had Pacific, and you had all these small, real minute teams. But I mean, it would be nice to have another two, three teams in Formula One.
Oh, I think it would be. I think you know, it should get a 26 car grid would be better than 20. Obviously, as long as they're not all a lot slower. But I really think that they could do more teams. And I remember the start of the entry price when they first had talked about reducing the cost of Formula One. The entry price then was like 40 million. And I used to think, oh, good God. Now it's 200 million. That's to be totally counterproductive to the John Todd and the Liberty Media who run Formula One. It seems to be counterproductive to what they say they want, which is more teams and smaller budgets. I mean, they're talking 175 million. Which is a lot smaller than 500 million. But if it's a 200 million entry fee, it sure doesn't help, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it quote here in a motorsport.com article that McLaren CEO Zak Brown said the arrangement would not only ensure that any new entrants are serious, but it also protects the value of the current teams. As a result, sale of Williams to Dorriton Capital for about $180 million proved. So, and that's also dividing up the prize money, too, if you went from 11 teams to 12 teams. So I understand why they're doing it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, I guess.
Well, of course, the established guys have always been against any extension because of the prize money. You know, obviously, every new team that's in there, it dilutes the prize money, and they don't want to do that. People are already there; don't want to do that.
Yeah, it certainly is.
No.
Well, David, we certainly appreciate you taking time out, and I don't know if you want to tell the listeners your recent upgrades you've had installed.
Well, I'm wearing a T-shirt. Orthopedic hospital, which says congratulations on your new joint. So, you know, I had a new knee on Tuesday, so it's still pretty sore, but not too sore to chat to you guys. So hopefully I'll be up and running around in about 2 years.
Excellent. All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time out with us and talking some Formula One. And maybe we'll see you up next week for the VSCDA event, the Fall Festival up at Road America. Maybe the listeners might see you up there. So appreciate it, and talk to you again.
All right. Thanks very much, Steve.
Bye. All right. Thanks, David. That was David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.